This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And if you see a smile on this face here, it is a fake smile, as week 13 was not very kind to us and it ended in craptastic fashion. We'll get to everything from last night's football game. We were riding the struggle bus all week, but this did happen last year, and we have been in the doldrums of November. Things did pick up last year in December, so hoping for that. We'll talk fantasy as we always do on a Tuesday as well. We also have additions to the DNP list. We got a whole swarm of players being added to the Do Not Play list. By the time we get to Week 18, we might have three players available that aren't on the DNP list, but we will play a little buy low and sell high as always. Gonna, you know, do our due diligence and at least see it through week 14. Maybe we'll stop after this week on the players to trade and trade for. We are into the fantasy playoffs after this week, but I thought one more week. This is the last week of the regular season. I'm sure there are plenty of leagues out there that do trading, maybe through the whole deal, but at least through the regular season. We'll check in with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, per usual here on a Tuesday. Very tough assignment, but I know he's been in the data lab and he has been mining goodness. So he'll pop on at the bottom of the hour, per usual, and then we'll check in on my top 10 waiver wire pickups for week 14 and beyond. The program, as always, is brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Download Better at better.app now. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. As always, make sure you're subscribing and hooking up the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. Well, the New England Patriots, they get it done 33-15. I don't even know where to start, quite frankly. It was a very anti-schematic week. I guess I'll start there. And this game kind of held true to form in terms of the trends and the schematics of everything, which, look, well, this is what we go off of. And when the actual action on the field strays pretty far away from the trends, the stats, the schematic matchups, we're in trouble. And for example, the Giants have had one of the, if not the worst, actually they have had the worst run defense in football, and the Patriots have had the best. And the Giants almost outrushed them, even though they lost 33-15. So this is just an example of the weird stuff that happens these days, I guess all the time. Hunter Henry, we lost an under. Here's the problem with the darn unders. The numbers are so low that you have starting receivers out there playing 60 snaps, running all kinds of routes, and all they need to hit their over is one catch. You know, it's a one catch deal here. Now, Hunter Henry was a little more than one catch, but arguably he got 36 of the 38 yard on the prop on one catch. So we died like a dog there. The other problem, you know, and look, we went in on a couple of these one catch guys in these last two Patriot games and we won both of them, Demario Douglas. That's kind of a unique situation though, in that, yeah, I understand the guy's going to get maybe three targets if he's lucky, which is kind of ridiculous, by the way, because he's good. That's part of the problem with the Patriots. They're too good. But with that one there, it's like, all right, well, it's 15 and a half yards, 16 and a half yards. We'll go there. But for the other players, it's very, very difficult. Kayshon Boutte, what was his number? I bet you he was like right there. Let's see here. 35. I'm sure that number was right there. Yeah, 34.5. Like, what are we doing here? It's ridiculous. The real problem was Stephon Diggs did not do what I thought he would do. That was another anti-schematic thing. You know, he balls out usually on Monday Night Football, but it was a great schematic matchup. He's been their man beater. Wasn't the case. Got to get Matt Collins out there. That's the problem. you know, they're too good. They've got two running backs now, so they're splitting up the production. We barely hit the Trevion Henderson prop. But we also have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 receivers, tight ends included. And they didn't even throw a ball to Austin Hooper. So it's normally 7 different dudes. So, you know, the other thing that struck me last night, and I'm sure other people have been talking about this, but this new kickoff rule, it's not doing us any favors. We're getting shorter drives. Teams are scoring. You know, the good teams are getting these shorter drives, fewer plays, fewer yards, then they're scoring, and then they're kind of sitting on the ball. So that's been a problem as well. On the other side, you got to laugh because the alternative is crying. And I nicknamed this man the fantasy cockroach about 6 weeks ago. And again, I am not saying it disparagingly at all. It is a compliment. The guy's indestructible. You think he's ever been hurt? No. The answer is no. He never gets hurt. I'm probably cursing Devin Singletary, but leave it to the FC to outproduce. Let's see, Jonathan Taylor this week. He outproduced, I believe, it was like Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, just preposterous stuff here. Who was the other guy he outproduced? It was somebody good that just blew my mind, quite frankly. Oh, yeah, Christian McCaffrey. Oh, you got to laugh. You really do. He has not been involved in the passing attack, really. We pointed that out. Tracy was out route sharing him big time. Not last night, though. He got those 3 grabs for 34 that we envision going to Tracy. So, we're, you know, on the right track there. Giant running backs caught 4 balls for 34 yards. We would have probably won that. The other one, though, was, and I knew it was risky with Jackson Dart, but I did say, look, it's kind of in his DNA. He can't help himself, but unbelievable. He takes off and runs and gets absolutely clocked on his first 2 runs, like 2 of the worst hits you've ever seen, basically, on his first 2 attempts. So he does get to 20, but we didn't get there. And even though they were playing from behind, my guy, Wandell Robinson, unbelievable. Should have known that Vrabel would look to take out their best guy. He did, you know, catch 7 balls, but for only 34 yards. I was considering Ty Johnson. What'd he do? I know he had that catch overturned. Let's take a look. Theo Johnson, not Ty Johnson. Yeah, here we go. 32.5. Nope, just missed it. 29. Unbelievable. But again, if you take the under on Theo Johnson at 29, he catches a 29 yarder and you just lost. So it's difficult. It's a struggle bus. Week 13 is in the rear view. Unlucky 13. I'm never going to review week 13 ever again. I will watch the games for the Thursday night teams, preparing for that, but I'm going to act like week 13 didn't exist, quite frankly. We did have to add a bunch of players to the DNP list, unfortunately, but let's do an updated look at it because we've been looking at this list and compiling it for about 6-7 weeks now. So let's see what we have on the list. These are players that, for a variety of reasons, I'm saying don't even touch them. Take a laissez-faire approach. Jameson Williams, now, to be fair, went off last week. What would he have gone off of? Amon Ra didn't go down. Very questionable. Cooper Kupp, these are low-end guys. Quentin Johnston, the Charger receiving core, it's bad. We don't even know if we're going to get Justin Herbert this week. Matthew Golden, in and out of lineup a little bit. Complete super spreader offense there in Green Bay. And by the way, Jordan Love has thrown for fewer than 200 yards in 3 of his last 6. So you can't even trust Jordan Love. That's why Romeo Doubs is also on the list. Now, we put Kyle Pitts on there several weeks ago. He did have a good game last week. Means nothing. Because if we all back him, he'll catch 2 balls for 16 this week. He's completely unreliable, as is Darnell Mooney. Just when we thought, oh, look, Darnell Mooney, he's a thing. No, not really. Last week kind of came up small. I thought Jonnu Smith early in the year was a thing. Nope. DeKoy Metcalf. It's a 48-year-old man out there. Alvin Kamara, he, of course, is hurt. Keon Coleman scored last week, means absolutely nothing. Khalil Shakir, we put him on the list, even though we love him. couple of weeks ago, and goose egging people. DJ Moore, he'll score once in a while. He had a big game a couple of weeks ago, complete fluke, did not back it up at all last week. And then we also added Troy Franklin. Hey, it's Franklin on the list. Just when we thought he was the number one receiver or looking like it, nope, he was not last week. Here's who we're adding this week. All Patriot wide receivers. They're all gone. Goodbye. We'll see you next year. We'll try again. Drake May is good. The offense is good. By the way, at some point, they may level off just a little bit, unless this is going to be one of the greatest coaching jobs ever done by Josh McDaniels and one of the greatest seasons ever logged by a second-year quarterback. Jalen Warren, enough of Arthur Smith and this horrible offense. You got Kenny Gainwell. He's like a top five running back the last 3 weeks. Lamar Jackson, you can't even take the under on his rushing prop, which I did do 2 weeks ago and won. But this past week, he did look a little better running. So I'm not going to take the under. I'm definitely not going to take the over, though. Lamar Jackson, again, continues to look like a shell of himself. And unfortunately, for my guy, Ricky Pearsall, it ain't happening. He is not healthy, so therefore, he's just not commanding the ball. And they've never really been able to support three high-end guys, even back in the Debo, Ayuk, Kittle days. Not all three of them went off every single week. So, San Francisco 49ers durability, thy name is not Ricky Pearsall. We will try again next year, and we'll try coming at you next to take a look at some buy low and sell high options, last minute Louie version here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $300. Better has year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, and more. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. And welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. Onward and upward to week 14. Let's act like week 13 didn't happen. And let's remember next year in week 13, Black Friday weekend, tryptophan problems with players eating too much turkey, and lots of poor production out there in the National Fake You Out League. A couple of injury items of note here. Justin Herbert underwent surgery to stabilize the fracture in his left hand per the team. His return to play is considered day to day, which could be problematic because we'll see what we see with Justin Herbert, but I am not really feeling warm and fuzzy about Trey Lance as a passer. Obviously, it's been the slowest progression. There was a time where I thought Trey Lance was a great prospect, just like the 49ers did, but he has just not progressed. That's kind of the one little thing. When you have a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience, sometimes you're like, oh, well, he'll get better. And sometimes he just never does. Lion quarterback Terrion Arnold out for the season. That's a buzzkill for them, even though he's a number one pick. Former number one pick has been kind of underwhelming. And Matt LaFleur said that Jaden Reed still has to be given final medical clearance to play. Maybe Jaden Reed can stabilize or make him a little bit more consistent in the passing attack, as I've opined before. You know, they got a bunch of shot play guys, basically. You know, they don't have that chain mover per se. Sometimes that's Romeo Dobbs. Jaden Reed is kind of their biggest sustaining element in the passing attack. And maybe that's been one thing that's been missing. You know, there was a time I loved Jaden Reed. don't know what happened. I watched him at the Senior Bowl 1 year out of Michigan State. Dude's balling. I'm like, this guy's good. He comes in the rookie year, does well. Last year, fell off a cliff midseason, was looking good. So anywho, to the task at hand for this segment, buy low, sell high, a.k.a. Players to trade and trade for. Obviously, the list is dwindling. We're running out of insightful commentary because we're running out of games. And it's hard as hell to find any trend in the National Football League this year. If it is a trend, it only lasts for about 2 weeks, maybe three. But let's take a look at who I have. How about Josh Jacobs? Looked pretty healthy this past week. As I mentioned, Jordan Love is, you know, he's thrown for fewer than 200 yards in three of his last six. So half the time, he's just blah, you know. And you look at the matchups here, Chicago, Denver, Chicago, and Baltimore. None of those teams currently in the last 5 weeks are giving up more than 16.5 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, which is, it's a pretty low number. But by the way, well, let me finish my thought. So with Jacobs, considering the fact that they're basically going to be facing four stingy pass defenses in a row, so maybe Jacobs kind of reemerges as their identity. I think he needs to be, because Jordan Love, I'm very disappointed in Jordan Love. I know he was great last week. He was also great against Pittsburgh, as we called on this show. And then what happened? He laid an egg the next week. He was also great against Dallas. Then he laid an egg. So he's schematic dependent, basically. He's like these young quarterbacks who need man coverage to have everything defined out there. And then we'll throw the ball to our covered guy and have him make a play, basically. But if you zone it up on him, could be a problem. Next up, Travis Etienne. I'm not a big Etienne guy. I know Bashaul Tuten is lingering, but Tuten has averaged just 3.2 yards per carry or lower in four of his last five. Over the last 2 weeks, he's got 15 carries, 3.2 yards a carry. It's not like he's crushing. Meanwhile, Etienne has gotten 18 plus touches in four of his last five. He only got 13 last week. But more importantly, I like the schedule. I like three of the next four matchups. Up against Indy, they're giving up 26 points a game. Up against the Jets, they're giving up 28 plus points a game to running backs. Denver's going to be tough. And then Indy again at 25.9. Next up, I'm not saying anything like we're going to have a big emergence or anything like that, but can Saquon Barkley do anything down the stretch? I got to say yes. He's up against a bunch of teams that are weaker run defenses and or matchups where he should get volume. Now, they got to do a better job of getting him involved in the passing attack. As I stated, that's one way you can know if an offensive coordinator is good or not. Can he get the running back involved in the passing attack if they're not getting it done on the ground? Well, Kevin Petullo has failed, as far as I'm concerned, with Saquon Barkley. By the way, I would argue that Mike Kafka-esque failed a little bit last night getting our guy Tyrone Tracy involved in the running game. Got to get the Singletary of the ball, really. Moving on to the next guy. And again, I know the Vikings, they're dead. They're dead on arrival going forward, but they do have some very good matchups forthcoming. Maybe Jordan Mason steals the show, but Aaron Jones, I know he's dinged up every week, but apparently nothing serious this past week. Expected to be fine. And I do like, these are elite matchups the next 3 weeks. DC giving up 32 points a game. The Giants giving up 38.1. You got the Cowboys in between. How about Zach Charbonnet? I'm sick and tired of Ken Walker. I can't take it anymore. I do have a career for Ken Walker once he retires. Dude, go be a bouncer at a bar, okay? Because that's what you are. You are the bouncer. This guy cannot run inside. He stinks. And that's why they drafted Zach Charbonnet. And that's why Charbonnet is getting it done. Because Ken Walker is just those wide zone runs, man. That's it. That's all he's got. So maybe trade for Zach Charbonnet. I can't take it anymore with Ken Walker. Next up, Devin Neal. I know this is on the low end. You picked him up out of the scrap heap last week, but I like the upcoming schedule. Carolina, New York Jets, and Tennessee. might actually get some volume here, maybe catch 3-4 balls. Next up, again, I know the Vikings are dead, but if Justin Jefferson doesn't show up this week or this month against DC, Dallas, the Giants, and Detroit, those are arguably four of the best matchups for an outside wide receiver like Justin Jefferson. If he doesn't show up this month, then I'm just going to have to say he's a bigger front runner than Randy Moss, who was the biggest front runner that I've seen as a Vikings fan. I know that's a bold statement, but yeah, I said it. Tyler Warren, next up, we'll go to Tyler Warren at Jacksonville, at Seattle versus San Fran, and then at Jacksonville again. That's an unbelievable schedule. I'll also trade, if I could, for Dalton Kincaid. They have two needle movers on offense, Josh Allen, James Cook. That is not enough. Players to trade quickly. Jackson Dart, at the end of the day, if we're not running, what are we doing here? We're not doing anything if we're Jackson Dart. Drake May, obviously, it's a sell high situation, but we do have a bye this week. Then you have Buffalo, then you have Baltimore, and then you have the Jets. I don't know. He may not go off for sure in those three matchups. Caleb Williams, I know he's improved, but he's also still too reliant on hero ball and the like. He's going to see the Packers twice the next 3 weeks. That's a bad matchup for him. Patrick Mahomes, I know he was great in week 13. I wouldn't be surprised to see KC lose two of the next four, quite frankly. He's got some rougher matchups. He's got Houston this week. That's a problem. Then he's got the Chargers. And then in 3 weeks, he's got Denver again. Not good. How about Derrick Henry? If you traded for him 3 or 4 weeks ago, you did well. We were on here saying that. He's RB5 in total scoring behind only Gibbs, McCaffrey, Bijan, and Cook. However, I've seen enough. Lamar Jackson is a corpse out there. They look in the dirt. They're done. They're probably going to win the division, but they're still done. Maybe he runs all over Cincinnati in week 15, but I don't see him doing much against Pittsburgh. Then he could flop against New England. And then I don't love him against Green Bay. I don't love Breece Hall's schedule. Jalen Warren, as I mentioned, I think I'm out. Don't love Rome Odunze at all with these zone matchups forthcoming. And yeah, I'll trade Steph Diggs for a bag of potato chips at this point. And then Evan Ingram coming off a good game. He's got two nasty matchups against teams that are very stingy against the tight ends. We're not stingy with the information when Stephen O'Rourke joins the program from Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. And on the other side, thank God we can look forward to week 14 coming at you next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Not a VSIN Pro subscriber yet? This is your best chance. Our Black Friday special is live for just $60. You'll get full VSIN Pro access to everything we offer all the way through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from VSIN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bronco, AI-powered prop tools, and weekly wide receiver corner matchup edges, 24/7 video and replays on the VSIN Watch app. Coverage of every major sport through the spring, from football to hoops to March Madness, the NFL Draft, the Masters, and more. The biggest new subscriber offer of the year is here. Don't wait. Go to VSIN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points, week 13. Worst week of the year so far. So thankfully, we move on to week 14. And to help us get there, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data is on the progressive guest line per usual on the X machine at CallMeSteve07. What's up, Steve? Hope you had a great holiday. Though your Lions, boy, struggle busting it on Thanksgiving. So I guess you're not doing wonderful, but happy to have you on, sir.
Yeah, it was a tough outing. It was a good Thanksgiving overall, getting to spend time with the family, but having to watch the Lions do what has become just common at this point on Thanksgiving is always a letdown, always disappointing, but you learn to ride with it.
Yeah, you do. And it, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So you Lion fans, man, you're like, You're like Arnold over there with all kinds of muscles. But let's talk about your Lions, though, because they're playing on Thursday to kick off week number 14 up against the Dallas Cowboys. That should be good. I saw that you guys just put Terrion Arnold on IR, so you're down one corner. Though maybe if you're George Pickens, you kind of wanted Terrion Arnold because I know he hasn't really had a great year, but George is unstoppable, like literally unstoppable. I know you have some data on George Pickens up against your Lions. What do you have on George?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I think George Pickens has turned into, I would call him a top five receiver in the NFL right now. I think he's that good. And this is a perfect matchup for him. Since week eight, George Pickens has a 29.2% target share, which is 11th in the NFL, and is averaging 4.25 yards per route run against single high defense. Detroit runs the second most single high defense in the NFL since week eight at 69.2%. Detroit also runs a ton of man coverage. They've run the most man coverage in the NFL since week eight, 47.2%. Against man coverage, George Pickens is averaging 5.27 yards per route run, which is fifth in the NFL since week five, and has a 30% target share, which is 12th in the NFL. Detroit also allows just 3.82 yards per carry on the ground, which is fifth lowest in the NFL. That kind of pushes Dallas to probably put the ball in the air a little bit more. Less work for Javonte Williams, more to Pickens and Lamb. Detroit has struggled to get pressure lately. Dak averages 7.3 yards per attempt and has a 73.7% completion percentage when he's not pressured. I expect the Cowboys to take advantage of a Detroit secondary that I think has played well, but when they're asked to cover, as long as they're asked to cover in the scheme that they're running, it just doesn't bode well for them. And George Pickens is a guy that's going to take advantage of that.
I mean, I'm scanning as you're talking there and I'm listening the leaders right now, and George is second in scoring behind Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think you got to put George in the top five. When you add it all up, you know, he got size. That's an attribute. Maybe it's an advantage he has over Amon-Ra. So let's call the top five: JSN, Amon-Ra, Ja'Marr Chase, Pickens. Pickens is there. And then who's five? Maybe Puka or even Davante Adams. So, yeah, I mean, George Pickens, absolutely one of the five best receivers in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so good. And I like CD and him have become probably like the best receiving duo in the NFL, in my opinion. I think it's just, it's funny given what we saw in Pittsburgh and what we're seeing now with George Pickens, just how much getting the ball to him over the middle and consistently, like, it just shows that he is what he was built to be coming into college. The only thing was you just had to figure out his personality quirks. That's all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he, you know, I interviewed him at his combine. I always use the word bombastic, which is not necessarily a negative connotation as far as I'm concerned. Like, he's just high energy. You know, he's always just, you know, but you got to harness it, and you harness it by feeding him the rock. By the way, you know, not to go off on a tangent, but like, it is a difficult call in terms of who thought last week was going to be a Lamb game. It was. So I took an under on George. He's still crushed. Granted, he got it on the last catch of the game, but still, let's move on to Troy Franklin, who has been kind of the bane of my existence this year. But, you know, I've been ripping on Sean Payton for a decade and a half. Not his fault. He's doing his job. But, you know, as far as it relates to what we do, he drives us a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But what do you have here with Troy Franklin up against the Raiders?
Yeah, the Raiders run a ton of cover three. They run the most in the NFL, 54.6% since week eight. And because they run so much cover three, they also run a ton of single high. Obviously, they're at 63.8% for single high. Against cover three since week eight, Troy Franklin has a 26.9% target share, which is 18th in the NFL, and he averages 3.37 yards per route run, which is 12th in the NFL. Against single high overall, Troy Franklin has a 29.9% target share, which is eighth in the NFL since week eight, and averages 2.66 yards per route run, which is 18th in the NFL since week eight. The Raiders are allowing 8.3 yards per attempt to receivers lined up out wide. Franklin has moved out wide more since Pat Ryan has been taking more snaps. Now, I know Pat Ryan has actually been pretty high up there on target share for the Broncos the last couple weeks. But the Raiders have been really good against slot targets. They're giving up, I think, like just 6.3 yards per attempt, which is like top five in the NFL. I think that pushes the ball more towards Troy Franklin. I think the Raiders have gotten Caillou Blue Kelly, and that secondary has gotten beaten up a little bit. I expect this to be to kind of revert back to a Troy Franklin game and push away from Pat Bryant at what it has been the last couple of weeks.
I greatly regret not simply going over Devon Achane rushing and sleeping like a baby the last three, 4 weeks. Well, at least the last three. He's run for 174, 120, and 134. And I saw this coming a week or two ago where I'm like, all of a sudden the identity has totally been Devon Achane, and their whole line is road grading. They got Austin Jackson back, and you like Achane again this week.
Yeah, all of a sudden this Dolphins-Jets matchup is kind of an exciting matchup. Both teams are playing really well. All things considered, especially for the Jets, and where the Jets have really improved is on defense, but where they've kind of lacked is that the last 5 weeks, they're allowing 8.5 yards per attempt to running backs, which is fifth worst in the NFL. Compare that to the first 7 weeks where they were allowing just 6.41 yards per attempt. Achane has a 22% target share the last 5 weeks. He averages 1.71 yards per route run. The Jets have been a lot better, like I said, covering against the slot, giving up just 6.38 yards per attempt, which is sixth in the NFL, and just 7.3 yards per attempt to receivers out wide. I think all of this kind of funnels targets towards Achane and a little bit of Darren Waller as well. And, you know, the Jets run defense has also been a little suspect at times. And I just think that it all kind of pushes towards Achane being the continuing to be the main focus of the offense against this defense. And helps him get it going, as I think Jalen Waddle will have kind of a tough day, and it'll lead to a lot more checkdowns from to Achane.
Yeah, Waddle's crushing me lately, last 2 weeks. Finally, Kyren Williams got a little nicked up, so you must have Blake Corum on your fantasy team if you have Kyren Williams. But what else do you see with him up against Arizona?
Yeah, and I think this would go both ways. If Kyren's out, I would push this right to Blake Corum, because really their numbers are pretty similar, but Kyren Williams has been kind of a little bit more explosive overall in the last, or since week eight. He averages 5.21 yards per carry, which is seventh in the NFL. He's averaging 2.66 yards before contact per attempt, which is 14th in the NFL. And since week eight, Arizona's allowing 4.71 yards per carry to man gap concept runs, which is 12th worst, and 4.58 yards per carry on zone concept runs, which is 10th worst. Kyren Williams is averaging 5.86 yards per carry on zone concept runs, which is second in the NFL. The Rams do a good job of mixing up their run concepts. They go, but both Kyren and Blake Corum go about 50-50 zone man concepts. Blake Corum's averages are somewhat similar to Kyren Williams. So again, I think this just all pushes towards the Rams using the run game to kind of just take over this game, especially late.
Yeah, I was saying trade for Kyren Williams a week or two ago. I just kind of looked at the schedule. I'm like, I think they're going to need the running game a little bit more. They certainly did last week. Great stuff from Stephen O'Rourke. Yeah. Follow Steve on the X machine at CallMeSteve07. We'll catch up with you next week, Steve. Great stuff as always. On the other side, we'll take a look at the top 10 waiver wire pickups that I'm seeing out there for week 14, and includes a guy who is probably going to make the Hall of Fame. How about that? Next up here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Start getting paid for it with Better Picks, a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play, or head to better.app. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. And welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points, the final segment. And it's waiver wire time heading into week 14. We've got week 14, final week of the regular season for most, although some high stakes leagues I've already started. Thanks to Justin Jefferson and Jaxon Smith-Njigba for knocking me out of one of them, for getting 4 points. Thanks, guys. So we are still working that wire, though. If we're in the playoffs, we've got week 15, 16, 17. You keep on working it, even if you don't have to, because, you know, you may say, oh, I'm set with my lineup. But then an injury occurs. I had one team, I had four starters go down in 1 week, in like week 13, and like out for the count, maybe not all for the year, but multiple weeks and a couple of for the year. And I'm like, well, what do I do? Next time I'm going to keep working the waiver wire and build up my depth, even if you don't have to, because you're just preparing for complete implosion. Well, unbelievable. Now, I'm cheating a little bit because normally I don't pop out a name on this report unless he's available at least 50% of Yahoo leagues. But we got a future Hall of Famer on the list. How about that? Mr. Mike Evans, seemingly out of nowhere. Evans, a chance to practice this week. And if he does with no setbacks, he'll certainly play. At the very least, weeks 15 and 17. I could see this week being a ramp-up week. But we got some solid matchups. Atlanta, Carolina, Miami. Look, end of the day, if Big Mike is starting, I don't care for anybody. I almost don't care who the quarterback is. He's a top 25, 30 option, but let's just say it this way. If Big Mike is starting with Baker Mayfield, he's a top 25 option, which makes him a starter in most leagues. Number two, my guy at the tight end position. He was my sleeper of the year at tight end. No big whoop, but Brenton Strange is getting it done, excluding the game he got hurt in week 5. He actually had a nice catch in that game too. It was like I know that because I lost a prop for like 37 yards. He caught like a 24 yarder and got hurt on the play. And then he was out for a number of weeks, but excluding that game, because it was early in the game too, he has scored 9.9, 4.1, that's bad, 12.0, 10.5, 14.3, and 13.5. So he's got 10.8 fantasy points per game in 6 healthy games. That's good for tight end 14. Since he's returned the last 2 weeks, he's tight end 6 in fantasy points per game with 13.9. I say it every week, seemingly. Why does Trevor Lawrence like throwing it to Brenton Strange? Because it's like throwing to a couch. You can't miss him. I mean, he is a huge, big body in the middle of the field. And Trevor Lawrence, he's not going to quit throwing to him because it's working. And it worked dating back to last year. Next up, we talked about him last week. We lost that damn prop for Jaden Higgins. But I also said, look, this guy's good. And I've been saying this all year. He looks good. And now we've gotten to a point where I trust him. You know, it's a classic second half of the year rookie ascension. Quite frankly, he's looked good, putting up 9.5 fantasy points per games in 5 of his last 6. Probably going to need a touchdown to have a huge day, but I feel like the floor has been raised to a pretty palatable place, like 9, 10 fantasy points. And of course, CJ Stroud looked pretty good last week. They kind of consolidated things a little bit. If he scores, now you're cooking. Now you're like, okay, now it's a, we just caught 5 balls for 77 and we scored and we kind of went off. Next up, I know it's still a little bit of a headache backfield, but I had this guy on the list the last couple of weeks, Chris Rodriguez, friend of Fantasy Points. He did our podcast his rookie year. Nice guy. He still split the backfield with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, AKA Bill, and Jeremy McNichols, AKA Jeremy McNichols. But Rodriguez once again led the backfield with a 41% snap share. He did score, you know, okay. There were only 3 running back targets in the whole damn game. 2 of them went to McNichols. At least Rodriguez got the other one. So not a 0 in the passing game. You would think he could catch a couple of balls. And if he scores, you know, there you go. Adding it all up. It's not too shabby. Next up, this guy, MIA for about 6 weeks, but it's time to try the valet with Devon Valet. I have been personally pretty optimistic on Tyler Shuck, and he continues to hang in there. I do believe he can support 2 receivers now. Now, this could be at the expense of Juwan Johnson, the tight end. I don't know if we can support 3. So Juwan Johnson, Chris Olave, and Valet. But hey, the last 2 weeks have been pretty eye-opening. And you're wondering, like, what happened? Well, he got traded in season. So maybe it's simply dude needed like 6 weeks to get up to speed on the offense, because the last couple of weeks looks pretty good here. 12 targets, 11 grabs for a buck 30 and a tutty. He's got a 91.7% catch rate. And last 2 weeks, he's top 25. So a big body receiver in the middle of the field. I could see Tyler Shuck continuing to throw to Devon Valet. Next up, A.D. Mitchell. I actually liked Mitchell as a pretty good long shot play this past week. I told a couple of people on our live stream on Sunday morning, like, hey, yeah, it's a great schematic matchup for him against single high safety looks, which he gets targeted a lot. He obviously crushed. Now, you can't count on it. There's two different jet receivers. I'll get to both of them. A.D. Mitchell is the upside guy that you'll use if a good schematic matchup is present, which he's got one against the Saints in week 16 and then New England in week 17. Those two clubs play a lot of single highs. So A.D. Mitchell against those two teams has some upside. But the steady, safe floor guy is John Mechie, who came up a little small this past week, but I expected that based on a lot of things. But he did still get 8 targets in the game and a 97% snap share. So solid, you know, 4 or 5 grabs any given week with a decent quarterback there in Tyrod Taylor. Dalton Schultz, I know nothing, but Dalton Schultz is good at tight end, excluding his week 12 no-show against a top defense Buffalo. I mean, all the guy is third in targets at tight end and catches. And he's got 10.8 fantasy points per game with only one touchdown. If he starts scoring, look out. I mean, that's all I'll say. Next up, Darren Waller had a chance to score last week, but still involved. I like the schedule. Jets, Steelers, Bengals, Bucks. Pretty good. Harold Fannin, we want to prop on him. Not a go-to guy per se, but it's over for David Njoku. He is David Nonosho at this point. And Fannin has hit 3 receptions in 7 of his last 8. This guy is good, man. Love me some Harold Fannin. Bam Knight is also on my list, by the way. I'm extending out with Trey Benson's status. He had a little bit of setback, perhaps. So Bam Knight is unbelievable. He's actually tied with Bijan Robinson. And he's RB with 11 catches over the last 3 weeks, and he's RB 13. Here's another name that Jalen Coker. I know it's a low octane offense and they are on bye this week, but I think there's a chance he emerges and closes out the season on a high note. Big body inside receiver, had that critical fourth down catch to end the game, to ice the game. Maybe it was third down this past week. That was a clutch play. So, yeah, I think Jalen Coker could remain a thing. Money moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. That is a thing that is forthcoming at the top of the hour at 2 Eastern on today's show. Adam Burke shares his early week betting positions, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns starting at 7 p.m. So, to give you an idea of what I'll be doing with the rest of my day, I will be looking at schematic matchups. Oh boy, for week 14. That's part of my process. Tomorrow we'll have the wide receiver corner matchups of note, as well as Brett Whitefield of fantasypoints.com. We'll also take a look at the point totals for week 14 and try to surmise what the hell they all mean. And we'll probably have a best bet for Dallas at Detroit. That's one thing we did well this week. We had 3 best bets for Thursday night football that we popped out last Wednesday for Thanksgiving Day football. We did hit all 3 of those. So get ready for a best bet for Thursday night football on tomorrow's show. That is a wraparoni on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Enjoy your day. We'll catch you mañana.